My Zeta Max was, at least to me, always old. He was almost bald, with tufts of gray hair and random patches on his head and sprouting out of his ears and nose. He wore glasses with thick lenses that made his eyes seem dark and evil. Old pictures showed him as rather dapper, tall, slim, and always well-dressed, but time had taken its toll and Zeta Max had succumbed to the perils of old age. The only time he didn't wear a white shirt, a suit and tie was when he was working in his garden or repairing a piece of furniture in his well-equipped basement workshop. For many years, he worked long hours, taking a commuter train every weekday at 6 a.m. to travel to Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, a small industrial town about 50 kilometers southeast of Montreal. There he was employed in a furniture factory, where he helped craft and assemble high-quality dining room tables and credenzas. The life of Zeta Max was chock-full of interesting anecdotes and adventures. He died of heart failure in 1977, but my grandmother and my uncles were always ready to reminisce and recount stories about his life in Canada. My grandfather was a cabinet maker by trade. He learned his craft from his own father back in Zalicheki, Poland. The small village, now in Ukraine, was a renowned Polish resort town known as the Polish Riviera, famous for its warm climate, sandy beaches on the Dniester River, and a thriving tourism trade in the 1920s and 30s. Located in the Tarnopol province of pre-war Poland, it was a fashionable destination for vacationers and a hub for agricultural exports. My grandmother spoke lovingly of her little Polish village by the river, but the town had been decimated during the war. Most of the Jewish residents, including what was left of my grandmother's family, were shipped to German concentration camps to die in the gas chambers. In 1928, my grandmother's aunt, simple known by the name, the Mima, had immigrated with her husband to Montreal. They were shrewd business people and after only a few short years, they managed to purchase some rental property in the west end of the city, including a rambling duplex where they made their home. My grandmother and the Mima exchanged many letters during this time. She suggested that my grandmother and her family come to Canada. These were hard times in Eastern Europe and rumors of a second war were rampant, reaching even the local Montreal newspapers. The Mima would sponsor my grandfather, who would come over as soon as possible and attempt to find a job. Good cabinet makers and carpenters were highly employable at the time. The plan was that my grandfather would come over first, get a job, save up some money, and then send for my grandmother and her two children. The Mima, with the help of her lawyer, filled out all the appropriate forms, and a boat ticket along with the required documentation was sent to my grandfather. The only stipulation was that he had to start using my grandmother's maiden name to prove to the Canadian authorities that he was directly related by blood to the Mima. Apparently, this was not a difficult problem to overcome. Forgeries were made, and my grandfather soon arrived in Halifax and then took the train to Montreal. With help from the Mima and her husband, my Zeta was able to find a rooming house in the Montreal Jewish ghetto. He only spoke Polish and Yiddish, so finding a job would be a challenge. For a while, he worked under the table for a Jewish-owned construction company. It wasn't long before he could converse in French and swear in Italian, English and Greek. Zeta Max was a quick learner, and he soon was able to obtain a higher-paying job, this time in his own métier. That is the assembly and finishing of fine furniture. He started to figure out his way around the city, and on the weekends he would often hitch a ride with friends to the Laurentian Mountains, where he would go fishing. He also attended concerts in the city and often frequented the Yiddish theater. A dapper young man with a few bucks in his pocket, a wife and two kids back in the old country and a city chock full of beautiful women, what could possibly go wrong? It wasn't long before Zeta Max started to court numerous members of the female community. The band of gold slipped into his pocket and in everyone's eyes, he was a free man. Saturday nights, he could be found cruising the bars, restaurants and cabarets along Boulevard Saint-Laurent often with a young lady on his arm. Meanwhile, back in Zalicheki, my grandmother waited patiently with her two young children for her immigration documents and her steamship tickets. Her letters to Zeta Max were mostly unanswered and so she decided to write to the Mima to see if any progress was being made. The Mima had not heard from Zeta Max for several months. During his first year in Montreal, he would visit the Mima every Friday evening for the Sabbath dinner, but he soon pleaded tiredness from working too hard all week and that it was a long and difficult commute by streetcar to come all the way to the Mima's house located in the far west end of the city. When the Mima received my grandmother's letter, she became suspicious. She made numerous phone calls to the rooming house, but Zeta Max was never around. She left messages and sent letters, but Zeta Max did not reply. Something was amiss, and the Mima was going to get to the bottom of it. On a late summer afternoon, the Mima boarded a streetcar and traveled east as far as Park Avenue. She then transferred to another streetcar that weaved its way southward to the area that we know today as Mile End. She ended up in front of the rooming house that Zeta Max called home on Rue Saint-Urbain. The Mima crawled up the long flight steps of the boarding house and tapped on the front door. A French-Canadian woman, wearing a ratty housecoat and with her blonde hair in curlers, opened the door a crack. "Oui, qu'est-ce que tu veux?" demanded the woman angrily. "I'm looking for Max," replied the Mima in a rather menacing tone. "I think he is in room 16. He's not here, probably out with one of his whores," the woman answered. "Really?" said the Mima suspiciously. She decided, then and there, to wait for Max to come home, even if it meant staying all night. She plunked herself down on the top stair, folded her arms and looked up and down the street for signs of Zeta Max. The owner of the boarding house gave her one last look of disgust, uttered some swear words in French and slammed the front door. It was just after midnight when Zeta Max strolled down Rue Saint-Urbain, dressed to the nines, and whistling softly. He nearly had a heart attack when he saw the Mima waiting for him at the top of the stairs. "Sue, where have you been tonight, Max?" questioned the Mima. "Ah," said Max in a halting voice, "I went to the Yiddish theater. There was a new Shalom Aleichem play, and I wanted to see it." "Did you go alone?" asked the Mima. "With a few friends," answered Max. "The manager of the rooming house told me you have a girlfriend or maybe even more than one," accused the Mima with angry tone. "Some of my friends are girls, but so what?" said Max defensively. Now the Mima became incensed. You could almost see the black smoke rising from her head. She gave Max an ultimatum. "If you don't send for your wife and children immediately, I will report you to the immigration authorities and tell them that you entered Canada under false pretenses," the Mima warned. Well, by now you know the rest of the story. In a little less than 3 months after the Mima threatened Zeta Max, my grandmother, along with my mother and Uncle Morris, arrived at Pier 21 in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Zeta Max met them at the train station in Montreal and took them to their new home, the top floor of a triplex on Rue Saint-Urbain, across the street from the legendary Baron Byng High School. Zeta Max never again strayed from his responsibilities, as far as we know. Paul J. Starr is a retired systems analyst who has lived his entire life in Montreal, Canada. On Sunday mornings he is living the dream, hosting a two-hour internet radio show featuring music from the 50s and 60s called Judy's Diner.